Hey, I'm Steph.
I'm Alex.
And this is Not Today.
And we're live.
Hey.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
I am doing well.
Good. We're going to be talking about some creepy encounters today from Reddit. We're going to get spooky ooky.
Okay. Is this like a creepy pasta type of thing?
No. This is like Let's Not Meet. So it's all real stories, but it's just a different subreddit, if you will.
Different vibe.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, you know how we start this out. If I loved our content so much that I wanted more of it, what do I do?
You should go to patreon.com/nottodaypodcast to get access to 53 bonus episodes and more fun stuff.
And no ads.
Yeah, that's a good plug.
Yeah, it was short and sweet. Let's move on.
Okay. Honestly, I found these creepy encounters so long ago that I don't even really know what I'm about to tell you. So this is going to be kind of a reaction for both of us. How fun is that?
Let's do it.
Okay, great. The first one is titled, I Dated a Murderer.
Okay.
Starting off strong.
Wow.
I had gotten out of an 8-year abusive relationship and met someone on a popular online dating app. To be honest, I wasn't looking for anything serious, just someone to go watch a movie or have a drink with every now and then. I had 2 boys and was happy and living a peaceful life on my own after going through hell. So I meet this guy who is just a couple years older than me, and he had turned his life around. When he was younger, he used to be in gangs and drugs, and now he was into working out and staying really fit and doing family stuff. I guess you can say I felt protected by him. He was a hard worker, self-sufficient, had a son, and he loved going to the gym every day. I myself had a kind of crazy past, but overcame, and so we seemed like a good fit. We would go out to dinner, movies, normal dating stuff, but he eventually wanted to spend more and more time together, and I was having trouble giving up all my free time for him, and he would get angry about this. Like, really angry. After being with a controlling, possessive asshole for so long, this was obviously a red flag, and after 3 months, I told him I didn't want to see him anymore. He said he needed to confess something to me. He admitted to me that he was using steroids, and that was the reason for his mood swings. He cried and said he was sure that was the reason, and was willing to stop if it meant he could have another chance, and I obliged, but only under the condition that we remain friends. Things were okay for a while. We saw each other maybe every other week, and he started wanting to see me every week, to which I told him that I was not interested in being anything other than friends at the moment, since I was not ready for a relationship. He tried to talk me into giving him another chance, but I just didn't find myself interested in him in a romantic way, and so I insisted that we just be friends. I stopped talking to him because I got mad at his insistence that we still talk every day, since he said that's what quote-unquote friends do.
Can we be honest? Who do you talk to every day?
Not many people. Friend?
You're it, you know?
But he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's grasping at straws.
Yeah. He would always ask about my whereabouts and ask for pictures of who I was hanging out with. And I told him that this is not what friends do, and he just insisted that he just innocently wanted to see what I was up to.
Right, so you can show up.
Fast forward 6 months later, and I hadn't spoken to him at all within that time. I was happy and living my life, and on one particular night, when my youngest son was at his dad's, I went out to a local bar with friends. My oldest son, who was 13 at the time, was home alone, so I left a little early to make it home around 10 p.m. I lay down in bed and go to sleep. So a little info on my living situation. I had been living in my condo for almost a year now, and we lived in a great, safe community, and I would leave my patio sliding glass door open, screen closed, to get a breeze in at night. No biggie. My bedroom was close to the patio, and my son would sleep in the loft that was closest to the front door. I'm dead asleep when I suddenly feel someone slowly sit on my bed. I'm laying in bed, wondering why my son would come sit on my bed so slowly. He wouldn't. I turn around and it's not him. It's Mario, not his real name, laying down in bed next to me. I sit up and ask him how he got in. He's not answering me. He says, I needed to talk to you. I said, okay, when you need to talk to someone, you don't sneak into someone's room. You call them. You leave a note for them. Literally anything but this. I'm thinking I'm going to kill my kid for letting him in. He said, I didn't have your number anymore. I needed to talk to you before it's too late. I didn't even entertain the before it's too late bit because I was livid, but something told me to keep my cool. I sit up and say, "Look, I really want to talk to you too, but not like this. Please just leave, and I promise we will talk tomorrow. Call me tomorrow." He gets up and walks over to my side of the bed and starts rubbing my shoulders and is slowly making his way to my neck. He says, "Do you really want to talk?" I look him in the eyes and say, "Yes, I've been wanting to talk to you, but not like this. Please call me tomorrow." He stares at me a while, rubbing my neck, and goes down to my shoulders and says, "Okay." This motherfucker proceeds to exit through my patio door and jumps my patio wall, which tells me that is exactly how he got in. I freak the fuck out, check on my kid, he had no idea what was going on, locked all my doors, and I don't sleep the rest of the night. The next day, I text him and tell him that if I ever see him near me or in my complex, I will call the police and to never contact me again. If you're wondering why I didn't call the cops to begin with, I knew he had a gun. So A, I was scared of being retaliated against for being a snitch, and B, I figured if I called the cops, they would probably not do much, or just let him out, and I was afraid of what he would do after the fact. Either way, he left me alone, and I didn't hear from him for years. 4 years later, I'm going through Facebook and I see his face in People You May Know. I click on the picture and notice that it looks like a jail picture, you know, in a jail cell. I scroll down the page and his most recent post is him posting his address for his family members to write to, a prison address. So I Google his name, and sure enough, articles after articles with all the same headline, "Man arrested on suspicion of killing girlfriend." About 2 years after him and I dated, he shot and killed the girl he was dating. That could have been me. And I feel like shit thinking if there was anything I could have done to stop him. Even scarier thought is that he only got 12 years for her murder. And that's it.
He got 12 years for murder?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, well.
That's terrifying.
He must have pled down to manslaughter or something. That's insane.
He came in through her patio door. And if she didn't play it cool and act like she wanted to talk to him, she could have been...
Who knows, man?
Yeah, she could have been first.
Oh, that's so creepy.
It's so scary.
Yeah, and there's just nothing you can do. He's sitting on your bed.
Yeah, and putting his hands like on your neck.
And he's like,
"Sure you want to talk to me tomorrow?"
Kids are home.
Yeah, I totally want to talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah,
dude. I've been wanting to talk to you.
Bro, if I were her, we are immediately getting the biggest shotgun I can buy.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a very scary situation.
Right.
And at the very least, we're locking the patio door from now on. Like,
we're getting a little extra security or something.
Yeah, getting a big wooden plank to put in the sliding glass door.
Well, they might have just forgotten to put it back, you know?
No, it sounds like she just kept the door open for a breeze to come in.
Oh.
Like, that was why it was open. Because she was like, "I lived in a safe neighborhood and... I had like a patio, whatever. So I left the sliding glass door open and I had the breeze come in with like the screen."
Damn.
Yeah. Which is such an innocent thing to do. Like so many people leave sliding glass door unlocked all the time.
Especially during the day.
Yeah, that's really, really scary.
Yeah, I don't even know how you begin to date after that, you know?
Well, you just have to be really vigilant for red flags,
I guess.
Because, I mean, it's not like he wasn't being weird to begin with, because she called it off.
Yeah, well, I mean, she followed her instincts. I mean, it's 2-3 months. It's kind of when you get to know someone, see the light.
See who they are. Yeah, yeah. See the light.
I don't know. I don't know what else to say about this one.
Yeah, no, it is very scary. But she did the right thing, like, the whole way. So good for her. And I'm glad that she is safe and her kids are safe and everyone is okay, except for the girl that he unfortunately murdered. That is really sad. What a scary man. I'm glad he's away.
Yep.
Sorry, we got there.
Yep.
Guys, it's late. We've been recording a lot. So.
Yeah, no, I felt like if I was going to keep talking, I was going to put my foot in my mouth.
Yeah, me when I ramble. My bad. All right, let's move on to the next story, shall we?
Yep.
This next one is titled "Never Go Inside." I used to deliver pizzas when in college, and I delivered this order to this house, and the guy opened the door and was like, "Honey, the pizza's here," but the house was obviously empty. Like, nothing in this house. No furniture, no rugs, no nothing. Literally floor and walls. It was a massive place and abandoned. No noise whatsoever. The guy told me to come in while he goes to quote-unquote get his wallet. and he asks me to stand in a very specific spot and tells me, don't move. He locks the fucking door, and then he walks to another room to get his wallet and keeps looking back at me. I'm waiting for like 10 minutes and nothing. I walk towards the corner the guy went to and get close to this door, and I hear the guy talking about me, like physically, describing me, and keep saying, it'll be easy. That's when I fucking bolted, found the back door, and hopped the fence and quit that day. Never delivered shit ever again. Oh. It'll be easy.
Oh my god. He went to the other room to psych himself up?
Or he's talking to someone else to psych someone else up, to be like, we'll just jump him, it'll be easy.
Oh my god.
That's so scary. And it's like an empty, abandoned, dark house. Yeah, I'd never yeah. in a million years go into someone's house.
Especially that look like that.
Right. No Regardless way. Of what it looked like, I don't think I'd be ever stepping foot in someone's house if I was a delivery person.
Yeah, no, thank you.
I'm sorry, what'll be easy?
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, don't stick around to find out.
No, and he didn't, so that's good.
Yeah, get out of there, man. I wonder how many of those are with like Uber Eats people or pizza delivery or whatever.
Oh my god, I'm sure delivery drivers have a ton of stories. If you're a delivery driver and you have a weird or creepy story, write into us.
Yeah, especially late.
Yeah.
You're delivering pizzas at 2 in the morning.
It's either really drunk people or someone or really weird.
They're really high.
Could be.
There was one time we ordered pizza and then we ordered way more than we could pay for. And we were so high and we just were like, we'll pay for half of it. They were so mad.
Well, yeah. You were in like high school though. That was a long time ago.
Mistakes were made.
Yeah. But anyway, that was a short one, but still creepy, and I felt like it'd be fun to mention. So let's move on to our next one. This one is titled, Do Not Let Your Uber Driver Cancel Your Ride While in the Car.
Right.
Sorry this is a bit long. I know this isn't a therapist's office, but this has bothered me for a long time, and I wanted to just get it off my chest. This happened in June of 2018 in Portland, Oregon. I understand I acted like an idiot in this situation. Since then, I have become much more observant, cautious, and honestly, much more paranoid. I went dancing with friends and was really drunk by midnight. Unfortunately, this was back when I had little money, and I realized you could save money by eating very little before going out, and it would take far fewer drinks to get drunk. So I was so drunk, I barely remember my friend ordering me an Uber home. My phone was dead, of course. I can vaguely recall them helping me into the car and telling me to get home safe. I don't remember greeting the driver, or the first minute or so. But soon after getting in, he asked how my night was, and if I smoked. Honestly, I was just thinking about bed at this point, so I sort of just slurred out that I did sometimes. He then offered me a joint, and this is the first moment I get sort of nervous and begin paying attention. I tell him something like, I'm really tired and just ready to get home. I think he said something about it being an indica-based joint, and it made for great sleep. Once again, I say something not exactly like no, but not a yes, which he takes as a yes, I'll take that joint now. Once again, I'm still drunk enough I can barely see straight or speak clearly, so when he says, okay, well I have to cancel the ride really quick because I can't give it to you while I'm on the clock, or something to that effect. It takes me a second to realize how dangerous that is, and by the time I start to say something, he has canceled the ride and pulls over. We were in an area just east of Hawthorne Bridge, I think, and it was totally secluded. Some empty parking lots, a closed auto body shop, no one in sight. It's starting to hit me. I'm now in the car, not with an Uber driver, but with some stranger. I can't call anyone, and he's trying to give me weed that could have anything in it. For the next minute or so, we're pretty quiet. Or I just can't remember any small talk he tried to make because I was beginning to panic. And every time he handed me the joint, I would take fake hits, just breathing it into my mouth and not into my lungs. I felt tired, clumsy, and weak. That kind of drunk, where you're almost at the point of nausea. And I knew I couldn't do much of anything to defend myself at that point. I remember vividly being fixated for a moment on the fact I didn't even have a pair of keys to defend myself with, as my building used fobs for just about everything, and I didn't take my mail key with me. As I'm freaking out, I look up to see if this guy is sort of noticing, and I make eye contact with him in the mirror. He was staring at me, but I couldn't read his expression. Finally, he says something along the lines of, "Well, let's get out of here." I tell him I'll just call another Uber to get home, thinking at this point it might even be safer to walk. And he says, "No, I still have your address. I'll just take you home." For a moment, I was relieved. I guess I wanted to believe him so badly that I would get home safe. I believed him. I tried to calm myself down, thinking he hadn't actually done anything threatening. Maybe he was just your typical stoner guy, and I'm overreacting. At this time, I lived on PSU campus in downtown Portland in the southwest area of the city. He's driving me north on the east side of the river. There are several bridges to our left, and as he keeps moving north, he has several opportunities to take an exit to hop over the river and get me back downtown. He keeps skipping them. We keep passing bridge after bridge that could get me home. Up in northeast Portland, there are some large industrial areas that can get very isolated at night. And Portland in general is surrounded by lots of forests, so I knew he could have me in a secluded area really quickly. After he passes like the fourth exit for a bridge, pretty sure it was the Broadway Bridge, I've been racking my brain for a way to make him actually take me home, and say something to the effect of, "Hey, my boyfriend is waiting for me at home," which was true, though I said it in a very meek way. My driver says nothing, but he did take the next exit for a bridge, and basically hung a giant U-turn that started taking me home. Even as we're on the west side of town heading south, I'm still shaking and have my hand on the door handle, thinking about just hopping out at a red light the closer we get to my apartment. My phone is completely dead, and he honestly still has several chances to hop onto a nearby highway and speed out of the city. We're getting pretty close to my apartment now, and I'm once again trying to convince myself I'm being paranoid about some stoner that can't navigate the city, although a few minutes before I was so scared I was crying. So once we get about 2 blocks from my apartment, I lie and tell him it's easiest to stop here and he can just let me out. Again, he doesn't say anything, but does slow the car. I'm flooded with relief, and even feel myself smile. But when I go to open the door, it's locked. I try to lift the lock mechanism manually, but it won't budge. I look up at him instinctually to see what's up, and he's got his head turned almost fully toward me, shoulders still facing the road, smiling at me. The worst fucking smile I've ever seen. It looked so mocking, and it just did not reach his eyes at all. I started crying and asking him to open the door. I was so freaked out and still very drunk, and thank God he did. I will never forget the sensation of vulnerability. Not just being drunk in his car with no way to contact anyone, but even as I got out of the car, I kept feeling like he would somehow grab the back of my shirt and pull me back in, as silly as that sounds. When I got home, I found out my boyfriend had actually gone out with friends last minute and wasn't even home. He wouldn't have even known till much later if I hadn't gotten back safe. The next day, I convinced myself I was freaking out over nothing, which I realized still could be the case. But in my gut, I had truly felt in danger the night before. Technically, this guy could have been totally harmless, but I still think I should have texted my friend and had her report him. The big thing that made me think of this was recently hearing about how Ed Kemper, the co-ed killer, would go for practice runs, picking up hitchhikers and seeing if he could get the passengers slash potential victims to trust him, or how far out of his comfort zone he could push them without saying anything. Obviously, this guy wasn't Ed Kemper, but I hate wondering if that night was a practice run of sorts for my Uber driver. Thanks to whoever reads this whole thing through, I'm at a point in my life where I'm realizing how much danger I put myself in when I was younger, and just depressed as hell, and it has made me both surprised and deeply grateful I'm still here.
Yeah, wow. Well, I was asking who called the Uber, because, like, they're the only person who knew where she was.
Yeah, it was her friend's Uber.
They should have seen that the ride was canceled halfway. Right?
They probably weren't.
The ride was canceled. They probably looking. Weren't. They probably yeah. weren't looking. But like, you put your drunk friend in a car alone.
Yeah.
With no phone.
People do that all the time. They're like, "Oh yeah, I'll call you an Uber. No big deal." And then they do it, and they just send him away.
Bro, you got to go with them or watch it.
Yeah, I mean, if your friend is that drunk, you probably
they're
wanna.
That drunk and they don't have a phone.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it is a scary thing. I said it in the episode a couple weeks ago about the Uber driver killer. You really don't know who you're getting in the car with. And that is pretty eerie when you think about it.
Yeah. I mean, they've added a lot of safety features in the last few years, I feel like.
They have. They totally have.
Yeah. But you're right. I mean, better safe than sorry.
Yeah. I mean, especially when you're a drunk girl alone at night in a city that is a little bit easy to find in an isolated area in, you know, it's a pretty dangerous thing. But I'm very glad that in her state, she was able to come up with, "My boyfriend's waiting for me at home."
Yeah.
And I'm glad that this person just listened.
Yeah.
it's just so eerie thinking like they were skipping exits and the bridges and whatever. And then they just did a massive U-turn after she said that. And then he's smiling at her. What's with the smiling? Hate it.
Yeah, don't have much to say about this one. Just feel gross about it.
Yeah, I hate it. But she got home and she's safe and okay. And that's what we love.
Amen.
We love to hear that. This next one is called Acting Naive May Have Saved My Life. A little backstory leading up to this meeting. I grew up in a shady area and would rarely leave home after 7 or 8 p.m. as it was considered dangerous. Going into high school, I got a pit bull. He was a gentle giant who loved everyone and everything. He had some protection work training before he joined our family, but as he was getting older, he retired, and I took him home with me. So, back to the story. I was, at this time, 17, female, short, blonde, but very aware of my size. Having a big, scary dog, I finally felt safe walking alone, and on that very night, I set out to take a longer walk as my dog, let's call him Meatball, really needed to run off some energy. I took him to the woods near my home, and we walked along a gravel path that was partly lit. It was around 11 p.m. and quite dark outside. As we walked, I became aware of the fact that there really wasn't anyone else around. We walked for about 10 to 15 minutes before a man turned up behind us. We continued to walk, and I noticed he is taking the same turns as me and Meatball. I sped up, feeling my heart beating in my chest. Meatball, who normally spent his time sniffing at the end of the leash, was now also very aware of this situation. He had slowed down and gotten so close to my leg with full focus on this man. I started turning at every turn I could, and the man followed, even though we were now walking in circles. He started getting closer and closer to us, as I am now sure he is following us. I remember something my father once told us. Never let someone follow you, as you're most vulnerable from behind. If you get in a situation where you can force your stalker to pass you, do. I stopped, grabbed onto Meatball's leash, and leaned back into the leash, acting as if I had to put my entire body weight in holding him back. Now, I am aware that at this point in my life, I looked small and weak, but as my father is an old veteran, I could fight before I could walk, and even holding Meatball back was not a task, as I was a lot stronger than I looked. Well, I called out, trying to sound as naive as I could, hoping that if I did have to fight, I would surprise him with my strength. "Excuse me, my dog really does not like people, and I can't really hold him back when he lunges. If I step to the side, could you pass us so I have a chance of holding him back?"
Smart.
That's really smart. As I say this, Meatball starts barking, growling, and snapping toward this man, who is now stopped. He looks me up and down, stares at Meatball, and turns around, not saying a word. He left quickly, and I called my parents and asked them to meet me, as I now realized he could easily hide anywhere on our walk back. My dad showed up only a few minutes later, baseball bat in hand. Nothing really happened, but after being followed by this man at every turn I took for at least 35 minutes, I know this could have ended really badly if I had not had Meatball or my dad close by. Scary dog privilege is real.
Yeah.
That is a very good move if you are a woman walking alone at night.
I mean, Meatball for the win.
Meatball for the win, for real.
Yeah. I mean, well, she said she felt safe with Meatball, and this is precisely why.
Yeah. God, and pit bulls are so cute.
They are, but, you know, just don't piss them off. They love passionately.
I've never really encountered a scary pit bull.
Me either, but I have to imagine it's like any dog. If you don't train them, some dogs are just mean.
Yeah. I mean, they could be dangerous. They have the potential to be.
Right.
Because they're so big and...
They're just all muscle.
Bulky. Yeah.
But yeah, most of them...
They're like seals.
Yeah.
You know?
A little bit.
But Meatball?
Their hair is so short and shiny.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But Meatball, he can growl. He's got bark and he's got bite.
Yeah. I mean, he played the part. He knew what to do. She leaned back and he just started snapping like right on cue.
Yeah, but he actually was a retired protection dog. So this is quite literally his job.
Yeah, he's like, I've been waiting for this day.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, kind of wild that the guy...
Turned around?
Well, followed her with a pit bull in the first place.
Yeah, but I mean, not every dog is a protection dog.
I guess, but you know.
Also extremely telling that he didn't pass her. He turned around and walked back.
I'm going to be honest, even if I was just like a normal guy... And the dog is like starting to get a little wild. I might turn around too. But like the fact that he didn't say anything, didn't engage, just like walked away. I mean, he was following her in circles.
Like, yeah, for 35 minutes.
We knew what was happening, but yeah, so creepy, dude. If her dad showed up, this guy would have been toast.
Well, yes.
You said her dad's like a military vet?
Yeah, he's a vet.
And he was on the police force too?
I don't think I said that, but he just was a vet and he gave her some good advice.
Yeah, well, he would have torn this guy to shreds.
And rightfully so.
Yeah, what else to say? Have a meatball.
Yeah, everybody get yourself a meatball, even if it's just the actual meaty kind. Love a meatball.
We're on Long Island. I mean, 'tis the season.
Yeah. Anyway, this next one is called, Did My Sweet Tooth Save My Life?
Fun.
I still don't know if I narrowly avoided something really bad or if this guy was just deeply unstable, but it has stayed with me for years.
Okay, not fun.
No, well, you know, it's creepy encounters. A stranger walked past me while I was at work one day, stopped, and asked me out on a date. I'd never seen him before. It caught me off guard, but he came across as confident and kind of old school, so I said yes. He asked if he could pick me up for a coffee date, and I agreed. When he picked me up, he already had a McDonald's coffee for me. It was from right near my house. I took a sip and immediately realized I didn't like it because there was no sugar in it. I have a huge sweet tooth and always have sugar in my coffee. That tiny moment is what changed the entire night for me. Because I didn't like the coffee, I stopped properly drinking it and just pretended to sip it so I wouldn't seem rude. But from that point, my brain also started questioning everything. Why would he already buy me a random coffee when the whole point of the date was supposedly to go get coffee together? He didn't even know how I took it.
Yeah, wild to presume that somebody likes coffee black.
Yeah, I definitely am a sweet coffee kind of gal.
I mean, I think most people don't like it black, right? I mean, I'm cool, so.
You're extremely rugged, yeah. So you drink it black.
Yeah, I'm like Hozier.
Sure, know? Yeah. You like your whiskey neat. Your coffee black.
Yeah, I was like, does he say coffee black?
Yeah, coffee black. My bed at 3.
Yeah.
Yep.
Although bed at like 11.
Sure. Then things started feeling off. He drove straight past where we were meant to go. When I asked, he casually changed the destination to somewhere further away. During the drive, I also caught him in small lies. He said he worked at my local Woolworths, but I told him that couldn't be true because I'm there all the time and would have recognized him. He didn't really respond. He then started repeatedly asking if I had finished my drink. Not once or twice. Around 10 times.
Wow.
How do you casually ask someone 10 times if they finished their drink? And it's black coffee.
Yeah. Also, where were they supposed to go?
To get coffee.
Then the coffee came. Right. Now where are they supposed to go?
I don't know. By the time we turned off the main road toward the new location, it was fully dark.
What? What time are you getting coffee?
That's a good question. This is kind of a strange...
What the fuck?
...date anyway.
Were you in the car all day?
No, I don't think so.
What do you mean? So, like, we're going to go get coffee at 6 p.m.?
A decaf.
And he brings you McDonald's coffee already? What's wrong with this guy?
Yeah, it's extremely strange. At one point, he turned down a road heading toward Bushland. I stopped questioning him at that point because something in me felt like I needed to stay calm and not escalate anything. There was also something large and metal in the glove box that kept moving and banging, and he kept drawing attention to it. After that, his behavior changed completely. He started driving erratically, swerving from one side of the road to the other while using his elbows on the wheel. He started yelling that he was Kanye West, and I was his Kim Kardashian. He then drove down a dirt road, and then off the dirt road into the bush. We were driving through the trees in the dark. Eventually, he stopped the car right at the edge of a lake. The water was basically at the front of the bonnet. Then he just sat there in silence for about 15 minutes. It felt like he was waiting for something. When he eventually got out of the car, it was pitch black outside. I couldn't see where he went or what he was doing. My heart was absolutely pounding. The second he got out, I grabbed my phone and texted my friend, telling her to call me and say we had training and not to ask questions. I also made sure to casually describe where I was in a way that made sense. When he came back and got in the car, my phone rang. My friend followed exactly what I asked. After the call, he just looked at me and said, "So you have to go?" I said, "Yes." He then sat in silence for another few minutes before finally turning the car back on and driving me home without saying a single word. I never saw him again. To this day, I still wonder if not liking that coffee is what saved me. If he had added sugar and I actually finished my drink, would my life have changed completely?
Bro, what the fuck? You go all the way into a dirt road, through the bushes, and up to the lake. and then you sit in silence for 15 minutes.
As if he's waiting for her to pass out.
Is he looking at her?
I think
he's... Is he staring ahead?
Probably that. It sounds like he was just staring ahead into the darkness. I'm also picturing, like, the outback in Australia. Because she was like, he's driving in the bush.
Maybe.
Which is kind of scarier, honestly, because that can be pretty isolated.
Yeah. Well, I think this would be scary just about anywhere. Oh,
scary anywhere for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just don't like the bugs.
Yeah, it makes it way scarier. You're like,
I'm in the middle of nowhere with a murderer and there's bugs?
And there's bugs? Come on. You can kill me, but don't keep the bugs happening.
Yeah.
That was a terrible sentence. It's fine.
So, you know, you win and you lose.
I was worked up. Honestly, my sweet tooth would have saved me in that situation too, because I don't like black coffee.
Dude, my snobbiness would have saved me. I'm like, what are we doing? McDonald's what coffee? Burnt
bullshit McDonald's coffee. Yeah, I'm coffee like, what kind this?
Of shit are we doing here? They have to boil their coffee to make it taste good. You're and like, they don't even do that well.
Was this made in a French press?
Yeah, I'm like, no, we're going to.
Is it drip?
We're going to an artisanal coffee roaster, okay? I need Ethiopian beans and they better be dark roast.
Oh, wow.
So help me God. Yeah. Oh my God. How do you move past this one?
If someone was screaming that he was Kanye West and I was his Kim Kardashian, and this was my first date, anytime, if any person ever screamed that at me, I would be very afraid, but especially first date.
Yeah. I feel like I'd be instinctually like, yeah, I'm Kim.
Yeah, baby. I'm yeah, Kim.
I'm Kim. And, we gotta go film, baby. Like we gotta show. You're Kanye West. You're on in 15 at the Metrodome or wherever.
The Metrodome?
I don't know. You're playing MSG in the 20 Dimsdale minutes.
Dimsdale Dimmadome.
Yeah. You're playing MSG in 20 minutes, Kanye. You better. We got to turn around here.
Sure.
I'll go that route. I'll probably get killed.
And I'm going to be honest. I'd probably get killed.
Yeah.
No, that's scary. That's very, very scary. Oh, my God.
And then you're saved by the friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, do you call 911 or you call your friend? I'd be calling 911. It's a tough call.
It is a tough call. The friend is a lot more of a chill option. And she was trying to...
What about this situation is chill?
Nothing about the situation is chill, of course. But she was trying to play it cool and act as if she wasn't scared, you know?
Right.
Which is a response that people do. Fight, flight, fawn. Sounds like she was fawning.
Oh, this is a thing?
Absolutely, this is a thing.
Okay. I haven't heard fawn, but I know the deal. We've told stories where this has worked.
Yeah.
So I understand it.
Many
times. I haven't heard flight, fight, or fawn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's very much a thing.
Because the third one is usually freeze.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's also a thing. Fight, flight, freeze, or fawn.
Yeah.
This was a mixture between freeze and fawn, I feel like.
Yeah. Drove her home silently.
Yeah, sat in the darkness for 15 minutes and then drove her home silently. That's also freaking terrifying.
Yep.
But I don't think I have anything else to say about it other than it's scary. So,
and we wish her well.
Yeah, that too. So why don't we move on to the next one? This one is titled, "For months, I was confused why I kept finding long hairs in my house. Then I saw my neighbor coming out of my house."
Right. Right.
TLDR for you.
Yeah.
"I'm a man in my 20s that lives alone on a very top floor of an apartment block. I've had short hair for the last 10 years of my life. The longest hair on my head is maybe an inch long, if that even. However, across my house, I kept finding long hairs on the floor, like long brunette hairs, at least 5 to 6 inches, sometimes longer. And they would be everywhere, bathroom floor, in the shower, in my cupboard, in my kitchen, on old clothes, living room floor, and sofas, etc."
Everywhere?
Everywhere. "I've been single since November and clean often enough that I'm certain it's not my ex-girlfriend's hairs. Plus, the color doesn't even match anyway. She has solid black hair. These are more like a light brunette. Plus, finding them in places like the shower, where running water is hitting all sides 5 times a week? Anyway, I waved it off as, well, I work with a lot of people and use the gym and bus sometimes, so naturally hairs are going to stick to my clothes."
Yeah, the same color, the same length, everywhere.
Yeah.
Right.
"Well, one day, this past April, I finished my early AM gym session and got the call that I didn't have to go to work that day. So naturally, I started to walk home all happy that I have the day to myself. I'm on the 5th floor, the uppermost floor of the building, and the apartment is in such a way that there is only one apartment per floor. I start to hustle up the stairs and don't use the elevator since I'm sweaty from the gym anyway."
There's an apartment per floor?
Yeah, some buildings have that. Like if they're a small apartment building or if it's like a really rich place.
Right.
Yeah.
He's doing well. He's in the Penthouse.
He's in the Penthouse.
Yeah.
Good for him. I start to hustle up the stairs and I don't use the elevator since I'm sweaty from the gym anyway. Just as I whip a right to go up the very last set of stairs from the fourth floor to the fifth floor, I see my neighbor's, who's on the third floor, daughter coming down the stairs. Okay, so that was written kind of crazy. His neighbor's daughter was coming down the stairs. They live on the third floor. Cool. And she's coming down from the fifth floor.
Right.
Right. We lock eye contact. We've never spoken before, mostly because we've never had a reason to, but also because out of respect, I didn't want to make her uncomfortable since she's 19, 21-ish and I'm slightly older. The most interaction we've had is that I've spoken to her mother and father before when bumping into each other on the stairs. I gave a confused, "Hello?" At this point, I'm thinking that she maybe went to knock on my door to ask for something. A cup of sugar maybe? I don't know. I was expecting her to reply with something like, "Oh, hi, do you have any XYZ? Nope. She gave a silent, "Hey," and brushed right past me. And only then, when the smell of my own shampoo hit me, did I notice her hair was wet. Like, fresh out of the shower a minute ago, wet.
Brother.
Now, I'm not saying she showered in my house, or that I have a stalker that's been living in my house while I've been at work. She very easily could have been there just to ask for something. And most generic brand shampoos smell the same. But don't the pieces all fit a bit too well? Her hair color matches the hairs I would find around my apartment, and like I said before, they were everywhere. In my bed, in my sock drawers. And if this is the case of me having a stalker, how did she know I came home early enough to bolt out of the shower in time? Our apartment doesn't have cameras. It's an older building, from before 2000. And why would she be stalking me? For how long has she been doing this? We've never dated, never had a proper conversation. I maybe saw her 20 times in the past 2 years, given that I work and she presumably studies or works too. As all these thoughts are buzzing through my head and I'm standing outside my door for a solid 2 minutes, grappling with what just happened, I go to turn the key to my door and it opens without me having to unlock it. And I know for a fact I always double lock my door. It's the type with a lock near waist level and two more secure locks with a different key around shoulder level. Pretty secure door. Multiple keys.
He's not messing around.
Yeah. I drop my bag, throw off my shoes, and run to the shower. And yep, it's wet. I hadn't showered since yesterday morning. I'm a confrontational person. Not that I go looking for fights, but I'll definitely pursue an answer if something is bugging me. So back down the stairs to the third floor I went, knocked on the door of my apparent stalker and her family. She opens the door, but with the chain still on. I see half of her face from behind the door. "Yes? Can I help? Were you at my door or inside? I don't want to make this a police thing now, but you came down the stairs and I know you were inside." She said, "I just had to get something. It won't happen again. Okay, bye, see you." And then she closed the door.
What? I just had to get something.
I just had to get something. Okay, bye-bye now. What?
Yeah, I mean, well, if you do get caught, what are you going to do?
That's a crazy response.
Right. I know it's, well, how do you, that's my point. How do you respond in a non-crazy way? "Oh, I'm sorry, I've just been stalking you.
I've just been showering in your house when you're gone.
Breaking into your apartment and shedding all over it.
Yeah.
I've been pulling my hair out on your couch and also your kitchen and shower and bedroom.
Right.
Right. Cool.
No, right. That's normal.
Yeah. I think that would be crazier.
I mean, she lives with her family and she's like 19, 21-ish. Maybe she's just wanting a little peace and quiet.
Right.
She's playing house in someone else's apartment.
How did she get his keys? She had to.
That's what I would love to know.
She unlocked his door. Dude, you got to get those rekeyed ASAP.
Yeah. This happened last month. I've been cleaning my house every weekend closely now and got the locks changed and put a motion sensor camera above my door. It only films and triggers on the steps coming up to my door, so the fourth apartment still has their privacy. So far, so good. I don't think she's been inside since. But looking back, I think she's been living in or going in or whatever into my apartment since January because that's my earliest memory of finding hairs. She never took anything of value like my laptop or the few watches I have. Seemingly, she just showered and ate some of my food and laid in my bed. I do now also always take the elevator and avoid the third floor like the plague. So wait, he didn't even pursue it further than that? She just said I had to get something and he let it go? there is an edit, so we can keep reading, but that's a crazy thing to just let go.
Could you pursue what, breaking and entering?
I think probably. I mean, because she admitted it and she said, I just had to get something. His door was unlocked. Her hairs are all over his apartment.
Yeah.
So he probably could have, although he said he didn't want to get the police involved. So I guess since she didn't steal anything and it was just like a weird situation, he just let it go. But anyway, there is an edit, so I'm going to keep going.
Okay.
He said, I'm not really worried about my safety because one, I'm 200 pounds and do a lot of fighting training. And two, the new camera has never gone off since installed other than myself triggering it when I'm home. Finally, three, I told the old retired husband and wife on the fourth floor that I suspected a robber was trying to break into my apartment last month. I didn't want to start spreading rumors and gossip and asked them to keep an ear out when I'm at work. I feel fine and safe, just creeped out. Like my personal space has been violated. And here's another edit. Someone DM'd me to check my coats and bags for air tags as to how maybe she knew I was coming home early that day. I don't have a lot of stuff, so I think I would have 100% found it by now given how often I clean, but I'll def do another sweep of my stuff. Yeah, that's the other thing. How did she know he was coming home so early?
Yeah, but she knew just in time.
Just in time, but she still must have known because she was coming down the stairs as he was coming upstairs. It's not even like he walked into the apartment and she didn't leave his door locked, which she had presumably done every other time because every other time he came home, his door was locked. So she ran out of the shower, wet hair, and scrambled out. So how did she know?
It's a good question. I don't know.
For months, she had been locking the door, so she must have had a key.
Maybe she air tagged his car.
But no, he walked. He walked home. He said, I walked home.
Wild. How did she copy his keys?
I don't know. And it was two keys, too.
Brother, what? I mean, this has got layers. Okay, so she somehow got access to his keys.
Yep.
So she somehow had access to like his duffel bag or something. Like he must have left his keys somewhere.
Or maybe she's like friends with the apartment owner or something. Maybe she had access to the front office.
Oh, maybe she had a master key?
Yeah, because it's an apartment building, you know? Like they have to have maintenance come in and out sometimes.
Or did she like know the person who lived there before? They never changed the locks?
Maybe. It's a confusing one.
Dude.
I think my biggest question mark is how did she know he was coming home?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe she just got lucky.
Maybe she got lucky. Maybe she heard him walking up the stairs. And since it's a fifth floor apartment and nobody else is on that floor, hearing anyone on the stairs is like, oh shit. So maybe she had just gotten out of the shower. She heard him walking up the stairs and she ran out.
Damn.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I was going to say the other interesting thing about this is like, it's a girl.
Yeah.
It's a woman. Like,
yeah, it's like a 19-year-old girl.
Yeah. If this were the other way around, it would have been
bad.
Definitely police involved.
Absolutely. He's like, but he's like a 20-something-year-old guy, you know?
I know. So like he said it himself. He's like, I don't feel like threatened, but this is just like weird and I feel violated, you know? Like
rightfully
my space was violated. Like, honestly, maybe she did just want her own, you know, time alone.
Yeah.
But I guess the motivation seems like, I don't know what the motivation would be. I don't know. Maybe she just wanted to smell his stuff. I don't know.
Weird. This kind of reminds me of that story of there were two girls living in a house and there was the guy who previously lived in that house and he kept like breaking into their basement. Remember that one?
Yeah.
That was like a Reddit something we told a while ago.
Right. He was just like living in their house.
Or like hiding something in their basement. And they were like, we're not going to do anything about this because I think they did call the police many times, but the police like weren't really doing anything.
Right. We had two stories like this. One was that, and it was a guy who was stashing drugs at their house, they thought, and he kept coming back to try and find it.
Yeah.
The other one was like, they were in college and they had a house of like six or seven people. And then there was a dude who was just like in the basement living there, and they just assumed that he was subletting the house.
A roommate, yeah.
And come to find out, he was not.
That was the frogging episode.
And they just let him.
Yeah.
And then they just let him. So incredibly strange.
Yeah, they're like, oh, that's just Steve.
It's Steve. He's harmless. He just wants free rent. Let him stay down there. The basement sucks anyway.
I can't believe this guy didn't call anyone, the cops. I don't know. It's just like such a strain. You can't do that. That's not like a chill thing to do. You can't be living in my house for months while I'm at work.
Yeah, I would perhaps want more of an explanation.
Yeah.
For no other reason than I just wouldn't be able to stop thinking about it.
Right.
And I'm curious.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Sure. All right, shall we move on to the next one?
Let's do it.
Okay. This one is titled, My Husband and I Think We Dodged a Serial Killer.
Right.
2 years ago, in the winter, my husband and I bought and moved to a farm in small town Appalachia. We decided to go down to our local tractor supply to buy a propane tank. As we were in the checkout line, a man, in his late 50s, I assume, walked in and stared at us. He's grabbing a random woman's shirt off of a shelf and then turned back, stared at us some more, and stood behind us in line. He stood so close I could feel his breath on my neck. I was extremely uncomfortable, but I figured it's a small town, so everyone is just overly nice, so I turned toward him, smiled, nodded, and said good morning, hoping the man would feel as uncomfortable as I did and back up a bit. He did not. He started talking to us. Initially, starting with pleasant small talk. The weather's getting quite cold. This line is taking forever. Telling us about him picking up his great aunt from the airport in 2 hours, etc. Then quickly going into more intrusive territory. Where are you guys from? Where are you living now? How old are you guys? For context, though I was in my late 20s and my husband was only a few years behind me, our baby faces could have easily passed for 20/21. When it was our turn to check out, I said, have a good day, to the man, and went up to the register. As the guy behind the register started to explain their propane pricing, the man started to flip out. I mean, he started yelling at this poor 17-year-old kid working his weekend job, saying, I can't believe y'all are charging them so much for a propane tank, and they're a young newlywed couple, why can't you give them a break? He just kept going on and on, cussing beneath his breath at the guy behind the counter. Then he once again turned to us. Hey, I have a 100-pound tank and I'm not using it at my house. I'll let y'all have it for free if you want. You'll just need to come with me. My husband thanked him, but declined. He said, are you sure? My house is only 20 minutes from here. I could even give you 2 tanks.
20 minutes.
Again, my husband declined. Yeah, 20 minutes from here. He continued, we have to do it now, though, because I have to go to the airport and leave town in 2 hours. This was a slip-up we hadn't noticed until we got home later that day. At this point, I said, no thank you, in a bit more of an assertive tone. Getting what I assumed was annoyed, he dropped his items and stormed out. As we went outside to get our tank filled up, the man pulled up into the parking spot next to the fill-up area in his pickup truck. He got out and went back at it. You should really think about getting a second tank. It'll save you a trip and would last you longer. He continued, if you don't want to both go, only one of y'all can just come and ride with me, and the other can meet me at my place. I replied, no thank you, we're good. Then he said, come on, it's a small town, it's safe. I would never hurt such a lovely young couple.
Who said anything about that?
At this point, the outdoor employee came out of the propane area and told him to get the fuck out of there and to stop bothering us. So he got in his truck that did not have a license plate and drove off. The other day, while filling up our tank, the guy helping us asked us about that day, and if we ever saw the guy again. Apparently he comes by in the winters when it's quiet and only talks to young couples. Major creepy vibes.
What the hell, man?
That's so weird.
And he just wouldn't let it go.
Yep.
I won't hurt you.
Best case scenario, he's a lonely guy. Worst case scenario?
Something's going on, dude. Yeah, it's only 20 minutes down. I mean, maybe that's like not a long drive in the country, but to me, that's probably, I mean, you can get almost 20 miles in 20 minutes.
Yep.
You know, 20 miles isn't a short distance. Hell, 10 even short.
Hell, 10.
I'm just getting in the spirit.
I understand.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is that this was not sophisticated in any capacity.
No, no, no.
It was completely obvious what was happening the entire time.
The whole time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we're in the country in Appalachia, so.
Yeah.
There's some characters out there, you know?
I'm sure there's some smart people.
Oh,
They're just not offering propane for free.
There's absolutely smart people out in Appalachia, but there's also some characters, and I don't think that's a crazy thing to say.
There's some characters, and he's one of them.
Yeah.
He's offering 100-pound propane tanks, which I'm not even sure exists.
I wouldn't
truly
know.
Because all the barbecue ones are 20 pounds, you know?
100-pound propane tank. That's a big propane tank.
How are you even going to fit it under your grill?
It's probably not for the grill if it's 100 pounds. That's got to be for something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
we're finding more inconsistencies with his story. Okay. And now you got two of them?
Yeah, what the hell did he want with them? And other young couples. I wonder if there's ever been a young couple that's gone with him.
Probably not.
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe. You got to be real naive, man. Hopefully the guy who works there would be like, no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stop him. But
well, he did. He came outside and was like, get the hell out of here.
Well, after all that badgering. But I'm like, if you see them leaving with him, you're like, hey, he does this to everyone.
Yeah.
Don't go with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the other thing is like, strangers standing way too close to you. Don't do that.
Yeah, I would prefer
get away
not.
From me.
Breathing down my neck.
If I can feel you breathing on me, you're too close.
Oh, you're way too close.
You're way too close. Yeah.
You got to save room for Jesus, am I right?
Back the fuck up on now.
Go on, get.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Shall we move on to our final story?
Oh, yes. I thought this was the last one.
No, this is one more. This one is titled, What Was Their Intention and How Did I Get Out Alive?
Theme of the day.
Yeah. An interaction I had 7 years ago still keeps me up at night wondering what I escaped from, if what I did was the reason I escaped, or if I escaped from anything at all. I was 20 years old and driving from my dorm at UT Austin to my parents' house in Dallas. It was late, I had ungodly hours in college, and I started driving home around 12:30 a.m. I stopped for gas at a gas station off the highway close to Temple around 1 a.m. The gas station is closed, and I'm the only one there. I am turned to the pump and put my card in when I hear two cars coming. I turn and I see that I've been blocked in. One car diagonally blocking me in from the front, and one doing the same blocking me from the back. I see two men in the car blocking me from the back, and I watch as they both get out. One stands by the passenger door, and the driver starts walking toward me. He has a very obvious gun in his waistband. I faintly hear someone get out of the car blocking me from the front. I freeze and watch as who I now believe to be the guy, quote-unquote, in charge, takes a few steps towards me. He is still a good 4 feet away, but notably closer than the others. He says something like, "Flattery, I can't remember. Why are you out here so late?" I took the whole situation in, and for some reason I cannot completely understand, I started flirting. Hard. Honestly, I mostly blacked out, but I remember vaguely saying something like, "I'm on my way home from college, but apparently got lucky enough to run into you." It probably wasn't that smooth, but I was laying it on hard. Like I told the man he should take me to dinner sometime. WTF. I then give him my number, a Google Voice number I had created for creeps who I suspected were going to call it with me in front of them to prove I did not give them a fake number. He went from serious but aloof to serious with a smile pretty quick. Then, sure enough, he called the number to make me prove it was real. I held the phone up with a smile, and just like that, he smiles, makes a hand signal to his goons to get back in the car, and leaves. I got in my car and cried, then deleted the Google Voice number and deleted the app because I was so spooked, maybe dumb in hindsight. I never told anyone but my therapist, but I've never been able to knock it from my head. What were they planning? Was me fawning the thing that saved my life? If so, how? Why? Did I just throw them off guard? Be unpredictable? Kill the chase? Did they do this to other people? Has anyone else had this happen to them? Were they just trying to scare me and this is all in my head? No.
It's not in your head,
Queen. I don't think so.
They blocked you in.
Yeah. From the front and the back, and there were multiple people.
Yeah.
Terrifying. That's a pro move, though, to give someone a Google Voice number or whatever it's called. Like there are apps where you can have a fake phone number that's connected to your phone and it like shows up like a real call, but it's not actually your number.
Smart.
It's a very smart move.
I mean, fuck it. Give them your real number and just change it later.
Yeah, but that's not so easy to do.
Well, if the options are change your phone number or die,
oh, well,
I would go with change your phone number.
Well, yes, I agree, but
you're like thinking about the logistics of changing your number. Like she's boxed in with three men.
I definitely give my number if
give them the real number
if I needed to.
Yeah.
But I would like to avoid it. So I think a fake Google number is way better.
Yeah, it worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. What? I have all the same questions.
Uh-huh.
She'll never know.
I feel like the only answer is they weren't going to do anything good.
Yeah, I mean the best case scenario, they take your money and leave.
That's wishful thinking.
Yeah.
Scary. It's also like 1 a.m. in the middle of nowhere, closed gas station.
Yeah, dude.
Not even like an attendant.
Nothing. And they were waiting.
boxed in. Hey, darling, what are you doing out here?
The fuck are you doing out here?
But there you go. There's fawning once again. You've now heard it twice in one episode.
Well, I'm sure if we were on this Reddit for much longer, we'd hear it a number of more times.
I'm sure. Fawning is a very common response.
Yeah. I guess there is something like in the reptile male brain somewhere deep down there that just goes, oh, she likes me.
I'm glad that that works a lot of the time.
Yeah. Just a little
not
spell.
Every time, but
it's like some Jedi move. Like the IQ just drops.
Yeah.
Well, thank God she's fine. I mean, yeah, next time don't be having to fill up at 12:30. My God.
Yeah, in the middle of nowhere. I will say, I don't know that I'd be able to like have that response so quickly. Like the fawning response. I feel like that's really hard to do when you're in a situation so scary.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, I'm going to lay it on thick and I'm going to flirt back. Because you're disgusted, right? To your core. You're
right.
Terrified. Your heart is pounding and you can't show it.
Yeah.
You know, you have to play it completely cool and say the complete opposite of what your body is telling you to do.
Yeah.
It's really scary.
I think I would have just hopped in the car and tried to run
you
through.
You couldn't have. It's a car in front of you and a car in behind you.
You can drive into the car.
And then get nowhere.
Back it up. Back it forward. Back
they're
it
in
up.
Texas. You think they don't have guns?
Well.
She also said I could very clearly see a gun in his
I don't know. I like
waistband.
My chances with flight better than fawn
sure.
for me.
Well, yeah. I mean, for a young feller like yourself.
Yeah.
Well, do you feel sufficiently creeped from these creepy encounters?
Yep.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I do.
I always do.
This really felt like a let's not meet.
Well, yeah, it's very similar. But anyway, I think that's all we have to say about that. So why don't you tell me your good thing so that we can go on with our days as normal. Have a bit of a palate cleanser, if you will.
Sure. You go first.
My good thing is that it's finally the weekend. It's been a lot of work. We've been prepping some episodes and whatever because I'm going to be gone for a week or so. Or actually a couple weeks.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. So we've had to stack some episodes and now we're finally at the weekend and I can actually enjoy myself for, you know, 2 days, which I'm happy about.
We're going to soak up as much of it as we can.
Soak up the sun, a little salt air.
A little bagel.
We're going to eat a bagel. We're still on Long Island.
Sucking that up. A little
bagel. A little bacon, egg, and cheese, salt, pepper, ketchup.
Yep.
Actually, I'm a ham, egg, and cheese girl. But anyway, what's your good thing?
Yeah, me too. We went to a wedding, and I love weddings. It was lovely. It was outside. Ceremony. Weather was perfect.
It was.
And
gorgeous wedding.
I have to say, the food and the open bar were quite nice.
Yeah.
And I took full advantage. It was a great time.
Some twinkly lights.
A barn.
Dancing.
There was apples.
There was a dog in a tutu.
There was. And it was a fat dog. I love a fat dog in a tutu.
A little Frenchie.
Yeah.
Love it.
So it was fun. And it was fun to be there with you.
Ooh, it was so fun.
We're too cute. We're married. And that's the show.
Okay. Well, that's your good thing that you just had fun at a wedding?
With you.
Oh, good. I love that. That's very good. Okay. Well, anyway, thank you all so much for listening. If you would like to get access to all of our bonus episodes, head over to patreon.com/hauntedaypodcast. If you would like even more extra content for free, head over to Steph Today over on YouTube. I have a couple episodes out now and more on the way. If you or anyone who knows the story of survival or something crazy that's happened to you and you'd like to share it with us and possibly hear it on an upcoming listener's episode, send it to notodaypodcast@gmail.com. I post pictures of all the stories we talk about over on Instagram at nottoday_podcast. We have a TikTok that is a day podcast and a Twitter that is a day podcast, but the TLN podcast is a 3.
Because that makes sense.
And just keep breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah.